Big Red Revival.
Football, like many sports and many aspects of life, is full of peaks and valleys, highs and lows. And we got a lot of that example this past week in football, college and pro, across the board. Zach, before we get into discussing this last week's events, how you doing? What's happening with you?
You know, I'm good. I think we just to keep vibes high for this one, we ought to just start out with our NFL teams and just flex a little bit that we do have a football team that we can get behind. It's only one weekend, but you know, I think yep. I can speak for the both of us to say that our teams showed up and showed out. And Stephen A, who was in attendance at the Nebraska game this last Saturday, power ranked Niners 1, Cowboys 2. So I do have something in my football life that I can be proud of. So just thought we could start out with a little good vibes for this podcast, because it's probably going to go downhill from here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think week one of the NFL season kicked off this week, and you saw a lot of not great offensive work outside of two teams that really came out and put on. Obviously, the 49ers traveled to Pittsburgh and curb stomped the Steelers, and then I don't even know what to call what transpired Sunday night when the Cowboys Giants game. I mean, Daniel Jones got his bag and decided to tap out, I guess. But a 40-0 ball game, something you don't see in the NFL. I mean, 40-0 is unheard of in professional football and professional sports in general. But no, it's you know, I wake up on Sundays, and obviously, you know, for the last couple of years, it's been, you know, I gotta try to get the family riled up again to get excited for football after I did it Saturday, and then by 2:30, I'm fucking pissed off. My day's ruined. I wake up Sunday, I'm like, guys, just remember, we root for a good NFL team, you know,
yep.
And it really, really does help your NFL or your football season, you know, kind of just like everything. It's like you wake up and say, like, all right, I'm waking up rooting for a team that actually knows how to win, is actually a legitimate title contender this year. And then they come out and, you know, a lot of people were kind of picking Pittsburgh to kind of knock off San Fran this opening game. Not sure why that was. I think maybe still not a lot of believers in Brock Purdy. You know, we talked about hopefully maybe him passing some of that magic on over to his brother, help out the Huskers. But no, it was great to see 49ers put on. And then, you know, I was excited for the Sunday night game. And
Yeah. Shit,
by mid second quarter, I was already, you know, unfortunately, I was already deep in the Housewives of New York by mid second quarter. It was such a blowout. I said, baby, we ain't got to watch this one. Go ahead and turn your shit on. So, but yeah, no, it's in a very lackluster offensive week in the NFL. You know, our teams, it was shit. Mainly your defense did a lot of scoring, special teams, but definitely Cowboys 49ers looked the best this past weekend.
Yeah, I would agree. And it's good to see, you know, Cowboys are and have been known just recently for kind of just being in an offensively explosive team and, you know, relying on, you know, guys like Tony Pollard, Zeke Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Dez Bryant, you know, the list goes on over the past, like, you know, 7 or 8 years, and never really had a real defense that, I mean, they were always kind of decent, but this defense seems different. Like, they were getting after those guys that came out. I mean, it was an away game too. And so it was cool to see. You know, I can say, you know, we'll get into this too, but both of my teams, you know, obviously the Huskers and the Cowboys, they have defenses to be proud of, regardless of, you know, the outcome that we saw Saturday. But it's cool to see that, because, you know, when you do have that defense in place, you know, really the sky's the limit. You just have to put it together, you know, in the other two phases of the game.
Yeah. Well, you know, pro football, obviously the big talking point, you know, this week, and let's get into what everybody is, you know, comes to this podcast to listen to. You know, Nebraska had a huge non-conference game, broke some television records. It outdrew the Yankees Red Sox this past week. And of course, I'm talking about Nebraska volleyball over Stanford last night. you know, Nebraska does have one team that goes out and competes and looks like they're a legitimate title contender. Ravy, did you watch the volleyball game last night?
I really didn't. I caught it late. Yeah. It's like, you know, and this is a pretty standard thing to say, but I wish that I could pay more attention, but I don't see when the games are going to be. It's just not like,
no.
You know, broadcast enough, I guess, or maybe I'm not.
Paying see, I'm deep in, I'm deep in the sauce on the volleyball team. It was even on big ESPN. It was on ESPN. Uno. So,
I got behind me here, but yeah.
Yeah. Louisville and Kentucky's playing. So Nebraska's old, Nebraska born, Danny, Busboom, head coach at Louisville, number two in the country. So shout out, I believe, Adams, Nebraska. But yeah, no, the volleyball team.
Good pull there.
What's that?
I knew it was Adams, but I would have never been able to pull it like you did just there. Well done.
I worked out there the only reason I know that is because I worked out there and built summer right after high school, did some construction out there, redid the high school or elementary or probably K-12, knowing the size of the town.
Yeah.
The volleyball team came out and kicked ass. They've got, of course, you know, another number one recruiting class. The Harper Murray girl, Zach, I'll just go ahead and speak to you. You didn't get to see it. But this Harper Murray is number one recruit in the nation. When she hits the ball, I haven't heard it sound like that since Jordan Larson was here. And, you know, there's certain women that get up and when they hit it, it just sounds different. And this Harper Murray, she seems to be as advertised.
For Nebraska.
For Nebraska. Yep.
Yeah, I was at the game at Memorial Stadium, and you forget this. I stood there and told my daughter next to me, I said, that is the number one recruit in the country right there.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah, as advertised. I'm aware of Harper.
So, yeah, the game last night outdrew the Yankee Sox, you know, 466,000 tuned in to watch Nebraska Stanford, and
you know why that is?
30,000. Because the Yankees fucking suck.
Are shitty.
Yeah, because the Yankees fucking are dog shit.
Yeah.
It was great to see it. You know, Nebraska hadn't beaten Stanford since 08, so they are on a little bit of a, you know, downward trajectory with the Stanford. You know, there's a couple teams that Nebraska probably will have trouble with. Texas, Stanford, Wisconsin. So it was good to see them go to Stanford and pretty much dominate the entire way. So that was great. I think they've got legitimate national titles.
Can we get Kentucky next?
Yes, got Kentucky Saturday. So yeah. Good to see, you know, the women's programs putting on, and you know, just as any Nebraska program, if you win, people will come, people will watch, and people will support. So
yeah, and we've danced around this whole topic long enough here, I think.
Yep.
I think
so.
We gotta do it.
Yeah. So you know, let's get into the topic at hand here. Nebraska travels to Boulder to take on Dion prime time and them Colorado Buffaloes. And, I think through the first half, I think the game was kind of going how Nebraska wanted it to go and how fans were thinking it was going to go. If we were going to give ourselves a chance, I think the first half kind of played out exactly how we wanted to. Nebraska falls to Colorado 36-14, and a game that really wasn't even that close at the end there, to make that three straight losses to Colorado, moving Colorado to 2-0 on the season, and the primetime hype train is fucking in full effect.
They got game day.
They have big noon kickoff and game day this weekend for Colorado State, which makes no sense at all because next week they play Oregon. Kickoff
too, which is crazy. Like,
yeah. It's, I mean, how are you, give me your thoughts on the game and how it played out, or maybe that first half of football and what you saw, and if that, is that kind of what you're expecting?
It wasn't what I was expecting. Honestly, I thought that we came out and played really solid defensively. I think we bottled up who we needed to bottle up. We had every opportunity and right to take ownership of that game in the first half, and we just couldn't because we can't get out of our own way. I don't know what we're doing with the snap there in the first half. I don't know if we're trying to get cute by trying to get that ball in there either right before or right after that motion guy goes through, but I don't understand it. It's like we didn't need to get cute. Once we figured out and settled in a little bit and started running the ball ahead, Gabe was just running through them. And we had a clear, recipe for success, and it just showed in the game. I mean, there were a couple times where Colorado came out and started a drive and they just ran the ball twice because they didn't know what to do.
Yep.
And I mean, we had them on their heels. We had them exactly where we needed them to win, to take advantage of you know, their miscues. We had them confused. They couldn't block us. We were tackling well again. And ultimately what really, you know, owned the first half was that, the field possession, because, you know, they kept getting it down and then pinning us deep like we've been the first two games. Yep. And then we drive a little bit and unfortunately, you know, punter, he didn't play his best game and then, you know, and we have all the turnovers and stuff. So we had every right to be in that game and to be almost up 14-0 going into half. And somehow the last 5 minutes of the half happen and we go in 10-0.
Yeah. So I guess I want to talk about the snaps. So obviously we had troubles with the shotgun snap and the tight end coming across the motion man. Now, Zach, you played quarterback in college. You know, people are trying to assign blame to that. How does that work? How is that set up? Who's to blame there? How does that whole setup work with the motion man and the shotgun snap there?
See, I think it can be a lot of different things. I think that what they're trying to do is get cute. They're trying to snap it as close to that guy running across just to provide as much motion in the backfield as possible to confuse the DBs or linebackers and get them going all over. And if that's the case, that needs to get taken care of in practice if you're going to be able to run that in the game. If it's not the case, then either there's a huge disconnection between the center and the quarterback. It's like, let the guy go by or snap it way before he's coming, depending on whether you need him to be pulling across. But it just doesn't.
How's the center knowing when to snap the ball? Is he going off? How's the center knowing when to snap the ball on that?
It depends on what they have in place. I mean, a lot of times it's claps. A lot of time it's a silent snap. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. I mean, I when I played, there was, you know, there wasn't any of these this clap stuff. I was like it feels like I played in the ancient ages now. But
yeah.
I couldn't tell you. It seems like no matter what, there was a disconnection, and then when the ball did get delivered to Sims, I mean, the guy, I don't know who has worse hands, that Kadarius Toney or him.
Oof.
Because I called it out last episode, you know, that touchdown pass he had, he dropped that swing pass to him.
Yeah, hit him right in the fucking hands. I mean, the
guy has stone hands. It's unbelievable.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, it wasn't great. Zach, I wrote down a couple of these stats here, you know. You know the old saying, it's like, what if I gave you these stats before the game? What you would have predicted? What you would have predicted Nebraska win if you just hear these stats here. Nebraska has 8 sacks.
8 sacks.
Jeff Sims only has one interception. Nebraska only gives up 58 rushing yards on the ground for an entire game. Nebraska runs the ball 41 times for 5.4 yards per carry. If you knew those stats going into the game, what would you say the outcome of the game would have been?
I would say we'd win. And to double down on that, how many passing yards did they have in the first half?
I don't have the stats in front of me, but it wasn't very much.
It wasn't very much. I mean, there was 5 minutes to go in the first half, and he had 33 passing yards, Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah, here, look at so there are 3 scoring drives in the first half. They had 2 field goals and a touchdown. Scoring drives are 4 plays for 6 yards, field goal, 1 play for 30 yards, touchdown, 6 play for 50 yards, field goal. What that tells me is, what's that tell you? It tells you they're working on a short field, right?
Yep.
Four plays for 6 yards and you get a field goal. 1 play for 30 yards and it's a touchdown. So that means you took over at our 30-yard line. And then the last one was the field goal right before a half, which is 1,000% on Jeff Sims because he needed to slide down and bounce for Colorado. It had to burn their timeout. Instead, they get to pocket that timeout. And lo and behold, it comes with 1 second left on the clock before the half, and they're able to get 3 points. I mean, like I was tweeting on, you know, on Saturday, it's like it's 13 Colorado Jeff Sims 13, Colorado Jeff or Nebraska Jeff Sims 0. Like he single-handedly was up 13-0 on his own team on Saturday. It was just, I mean, Colorado looked lost out there offensively. The defensive line came out there and dominated again. We have, in my estimation, a top 10 defense. A defensive line that is getting after people. And we can talk about this here in a little bit, or should we jump in it now? Cam Linhart's better than Ty Robinson. So yeah. Ty Robinson, the last play he made is going to be his next play he makes is going to be his first one. I've always liked him. And then it's like, dude, has he made any fucking plays in 3.5 years of starting? And it's just like, I'm trying to remember any big play or anything from Ty Robinson. And you know what? The defense looked better in the first half when he wasn't on the field. We have some young bucks that came out there and were ready to get after it, man. What'd you think of Cam Linhart in general, man? I mean, obviously he had 2 sacks.
That dude's impressive. Like, he does not look like a freshman. He's out there. He's a grown man. He's getting around. He's swiping through. He's doing what he needs to do. He's fighting on that defensive line to get to the quarterback, and it showed. I mean, it's not even just the sacks. I mean, just the disruption that he was giving. You know, Shedeur Sanders, and you know, I mean, the first half, Shedeur Sanders was very, very uncomfortable, and you got to think a lot of that contributed to the early pressure that Linhart got on him. But another tip of the cap is Polar Bear, man. I mean, that guy is just wreaking havoc as well. You know, it's kind of pathetic to see him like chasing Shedeur Sanders down in the pocket, but at the same time, man, the guy's got a high motor. He just doesn't have he doesn't have that, you know, even third or fourth gear. You know, he's a big guy, and that's what you get.
He's playing exactly how you want your technique to play. He's just there eating up blocks, eating up fucking tacklers, causing disruption.
He's working hard and he's doing what he needs to do. I have no gripes from the defense. You know, the defense is just consistently being put in bad situations based on turnovers. And I mean, I'm excited to see them maybe, you know, flex a little bit this next Saturday and just get a little of that frustration out. You know, they've earned those black shirts that they got before the season.
Absolutely.
Nothing is on them. They've just been put in shitty situations. Tip of the cap to them.
Yeah. There was a couple other young guys that stepped up and got some playing time. Riley Van Poppel came in, looked good. I believe number 93. He came in, had some, you know, some quality snaps. The Michael Gaber.
Best open
number 42. Dude.
That was the best open field tackle I've seen out of Nebraska in years.
Yeah, the tackling on this defense, and you know, we're speaking so glowing of the defense, and people, well, they gave up 36 points. Those are what we call garbage time points. Yep. Okay, the game is over. Nebraska Jeff Sims decided to turn the ball over 58 times, and there's only so much you can ask out of your defense. You can only go 3 and out so many times before the defense is bound to give up something, especially against a high powered offense like Colorado. I mean, 8 sacks, 58 yards rushing. I mean, the defense did all you can ask, and the offense just did absolutely nothing to help them out. And they actually did the opposite. They actually fucked them because they would leave them in bad spots. They want to, you know, maintain possession. So they're going 3 and out quickly. So defense gets a big stop. And then, you know, they go to sidelines, get a breather. And 10 seconds later, it's time to get back out there. And, you know, the defense can only be called on so many times to make stops.
And to that point, too, it's like at some point, this defense is going to need to feed off a little bit of success from the offense. Like it can't just be the other way around, because the offense isn't doing anything from based on the success of the defense. And, you know, when they're on the sideline for such a short time, sometimes, like, that's why we're not seeing these turnovers, because they have heavy feet. You know, they're tired. And especially against an offense like this, you know, it did come out to around about the same time of possession, just because, you know, they had more possessions than us, and maybe not, but we did kind of run out the clock. But I mean, again, no fault to this defense. It's they need to be able to like feed off a little bit of success from the other side of the ball once in a while, just to get that extra like boost of energy, because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people, including ourselves, talked about, you know, the wide receiver room is a little underwhelming, and it's like, dude, when the ball's been thrown at them, I've seen nothing. Like, they've all looked pretty damn good. You know, we got to see, a lot of guys get in there and make plays. We finally got our first taste of our tight end.
Fedoni.
And that first one he caught, man, I thought it was picked off.
Oh, he plucked snatched it from him.
Oh, he snatched it. Yeah, exactly. And then he had that ball. Garbage time touchdown at the very end, which was another nice catch.
Billy Kemp
made some nice catches. Yep. So it's like, I guess two games in, we haven't, sample size is pretty small because Jeff Simpson's thrown the ball about 7-8 times a game. But from what I've seen of the wide receiver room and tight end room, it's like they're more than serviceable to win us games in the Big Ten, especially in the Big Ten West. So it's just a matter of, you know, stop, you know, it's easier said than done. Stop turning over the fucking ball. But, you know, we're going to talk about Jeff Sims here, but I just want to get this out there too. You know, don't let how bad Jeff Sims has played these two games, because it's been horrendous. He's been the worst quarterback in the country. Overshadow that Ethan Piper has been the worst offensive lineman in the country. The guy is absolutely fucking terrible. Absolutely fucking terrible. And he's getting overshadowed. You know, nobody's talking about the offensive line because of how bad Sims has played. Ethan Piper, you have been just as bad. Just as bad. You were absolutely horrendous, okay? It's like, who's behind this guy? Like you said, we're, you know, some of the true freshmen, the Sam Sledge, the cat from Lincoln Southeast are behind him. It's like, we got to get somebody else in there. But it just, now to the, I guess, the main talking point of the game, Jeff Sims. You know, after game one, you know, he had three turnovers leading to his NCAA leading three turnover, or 24 turnovers going into the game, has added to it and is now far and away the number one turnover quarterback in the country. You know, I thought maybe, hey, you know, maybe Jeff Sims just played his worst game, you know, just, you know, picked his worst game possible, not possible, but just had his worst game. And then he followed it up with this Colorado game. And, you know, it's at some point a person is who a person is. You know, it's so bad that, you know, I think Adrian Martinez thinks Jeff Sims has a turnover problem, you know, like, damn, man, you need to ease up. You know, Jesus Christ. It's like that pick right before halftime was just the most inevitable thing I've ever seen in my life.
He stared him down for a good five.
Stared him down, threw it 30 minutes late, fucking on a deep out. It's like, dude, come on, man. Come on. It just, like,
your arm strength is not that good to be throwing a deep out after staring him down for 3 to 4 seconds.
Exactly. And then, you know, so the two fumbled snaps, and people are giving shit for, you know, not diving on it. And, you know, and I'm starting to hear some similarities of Frost and Adrian Martinez out of Rule already. I'm not liking, you know, it sounds like, you know, Sims,
loyal,
this guy.
Fault.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, he's like, no, I never thought about taking him out. It's like, what the fuck do you mean you didn't think about taking him out? He looked fucking terrible and couldn't hold on to the ball. And when he held on the ball, he threw it to the other team. I mean, he's literally cost you mediocre quarterback play right now. Nebraska is probably 2-0. And it's, which is, you know, obviously quarterback's the most important position in sports, but, you know, our guy isn't giving us a chance right now. So far, he's got 6 turnovers through 7 quarters of play for him, because I'm not counting the fourth quarter of this game because he didn't play. We got to see the two backups come in, Purdy and Heinrich Harburg. What'd you think you saw out of those two?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't even see Purdy's snap. my cousin got married, so I was kind of just like wrapping up things at the end of the game.
On Saturday? Harburg,
yeah.
That guy's got some problems.
Yeah, Harburg looks just pretty pedestrian to me. I was expecting a little bit more from him too, and so I don't know. I mean, I don't agree with Rule just riding it out with Sims, and I do understand why he kept him in to finish the first half, because like it was such a short like break between the last time he was on the field until like to finish up. But then he just did his further damage by coming back in and not running out of bounds. So, by running out of bounds, I mean. Right. And so, you know, I'm sure that either one of those other two would hopefully know better than that. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we don't have anybody to really go to. I feel like, you know, Purdy maybe be just a little more electric. And if you give him, like, the start and give him that extra, like, kind of swagger and confidence, it could be a different outcome. But – that I will say for Colorado, that was a very like ruckus atmosphere. I mean, it was impressive, even for Colorado. And so, you know, it's a tough spot to put, you know, any of those guys in. But at the same time, like if you don't make a change, it just shows your team that you're not really trying to win.
Exactly. And then you show them there's no consequences, you know.
Yeah.
You pull Anthony Grant out.
Yeah, exactly.
Anthony Grant didn't get a goddamn carry this game. And, you know, I get it. And he fumbled. He's been fumbling. And so you got to pull him out. But, you know, what kind of message does it send to the rest of the team?
And it just feels like they weren't utilizing Jeff Sims the way he should be. They're not putting their best foot
forward. No quarterback run game that first
down. Exactly. And so it's like, you know that he's not going to kill him by throwing on Travis Hunter, one of the best DBs in the country.
Did he play on Saturday?
He did. Yeah.
Travis Hunter played? Oh, the number one player in the country, he played on Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw him on his back a couple of times, but I didn't I didn't see anything else. I saw him fucking turtled up on his back a couple of times.
And Shiloh Sanders had a pretty good game in the defensive backfield for Colorado, too.
Every Sanders had a personal foul fucking during the game.
You know, that's what they do. And they also got a win, too. So, you know, I'll take three personal fouls from family members for Nebraska if we get a win. We don't have anybody. We don't have anybody unless we just start just changing the narrative. We don't need to throw the ball more than 12 times a game. I feel like
no, absolutely,
and especially in as weak as the Big Ten West seems to be.
Whew, I mean, they're bad.
Let's just start pounding the ball. Gabe Irvin looks very, very, very capable of carrying a heavy workload. Ramir Johnson does not. Ramir Johnson has done nothing.
Right.
And so I don't know. I feel like we caught a little bit of flashes of some guys, you know, Billy Kemp, like you said, Marcus Washington can do it. What's his name? Your boy, the walk-on receiver who dropped the ball. He did. I will give him one thing. He had a mean crackback block on a pitch to the left that we ran on Saturday. So.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he needs to be doing. He doesn't need to be running over the middle and trying to catch balls. I mean, Marcus Fleeks, where's he been?
Right.
I don't know. I feel like we got these first two games. We got two get right games ahead of us that we should win because they are not good football teams.
No.
And so we should be all right.
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of speaking of that, the start of the season really was no favors to Nebraska. Coming in with a brand new head coach, brand new quarterback, whole new staff. You know, Nebraska is the only Big Ten team to start with two away games. And Nebraska is also the only Power 5 team to play two Power 5 road games in the first 2 weeks. So, you know, it wasn't the easiest start. I mean, you're game one, you go on a road against a divisional rival, coach that's been there for 7 years, a team that you've had a tough history against, and then week two, you get to go into the buzzsaw that is Colorado and all the hype that is surrounding them for their opening home game with Coach Prime and their whole offense. And so it hasn't been the easiest of starts. And, you know, as bad as Nebraska has seemed like they've played, you've seen a lot of things that you can take away and be positive about. You know, you get, like I said, you get mediocre average quarterback play. I think this team is a completely different team. And you spoke about how bad the Big Ten West is. The Big Ten West is fucking bad. You know, Wisconsin lost to Washington State. Iowa, you know, had themselves another shootout against Iowa State. Purdue's not very good. Northwestern is fucking terrible as predicted. Illinois is a lot worse than I anticipated. I thought Illinois was going to be the strongest team in the Big Ten West. They are not. So, this division is a very winnable division, and not saying Nebraska is going to win it or should win it, but I'm just saying that these next five games, Nebraska is going to be favored in four of the five. So, you know, there's a lot of winnable games left out there outside of the Michigan game. Every game outside of these next two is going to be a 50-50 coin flip game. So, you know, we've got two, what we like to call get right games against lesser opponents, Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech. These should be games where we're getting the kinks figured out. I'm not for benching Jeff Sims yet. Give him his home game. Give him a start. But guy needs, you know, not a short hook, but, you know, needs to be held accountable if things go awry the last 2 weeks. So, you know, Nebraska is a 10-point favorite heading into Northern Illinois. They just got beat by Southern Illinois. They did go on the road and beat Boston College week one, but Boston College looks like they may
be cross.
Yeah, they may be the worst Power 5 team in the country by a long shot. So Northern Illinois, this is going to be a game that we, you need to get in there and get your offensive kinks worked out, get your turnover problems fixed, and figure out who your quarterback is going to be going forward, because you can't have a quarterback that turns over the ball at this kind of clip. So you got that night game, home first Memorial Stadium game of the year. You know, I'm expecting Nebraska to come out and get this W, especially with this elite defense that we have. I think it's going to, I think they're going to fucking smother Northern Illinois, and we're going to be able to, you know, win this game pretty convincingly come Saturday. And then, you know, falls you into the next week playing Louisiana Tech, same kind of thing. Defense is going to do their thing. Offense just needs to get right and be respectable. And next thing you know, that's 2 weeks. You know, what do you call that? It's a win streak. A
winning streak.
That's what you call a winning streak. So
it has happened before.
Yeah, so I think, you know, you just want to, you know, get yourself right, get your offense figured out, get your quarterback's fucking game figured out, and, you know, there's a lot of things still ahead of this team. I know it seems like, oh, here we go again, but, you know, it's the last year of divisions, and it's a fucking really, really, really down year for the Big Ten West. So, you know, we need to, you know, put up a good fight and show, you know, show what Nebraska was capable of, because we got a lot of young talent on both sides of the ball. I think we're going to start seeing some of those young wide receivers get into play. Malachi Coleman, the Lloyd from Westside. I think we're going to see those guys get in the game. We've got young tight ends. So I'd like to see some of those young linemen get in there because, you know, like I said, Ethan Piper, you know, we might have the two worst players rated in NCAA on our team, like Jeff Sims and Ethan Piper. If you go to Pro Football Focus, probably are the two lowest rated players in college football. Just been absolutely horrendous. So, Zach, anything else you want? Are you going to the game Saturday by any chance?
Yeah, I am going.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to work tailgate down there. So,
nice.
That's our excuse to head downtown at least. And yeah. Didn't feel like the tickets were going to be too hard to come by after what we've seen the first 2 weeks.
You know, people are already fucking fire rule, fucking fuck that.
Oh, that's
God geez. Damn, two games?
No.
Jesus Christ,
you
guys.
You can't be doing that. Like, and did you, I don't know if you happened to see his press conference on Monday. Already looking beaten down. Already looking so beaten down.
Dude, this is a tough place, man. Like,
I feel like he understands it though. Like for some reason, like Frost never understood it. It's like, dude, you lived it for 4 years. Like, right. I don't understand. But
remember we booed you, motherfucker, as a quarterback?
Yeah, Rule just goes out and just addresses everything. He addresses the elephant in the room no matter what. And it's like, I'm going to get ahead of this at least. And I can speak to it, but, I don't know, but just comparing the way that he speaks to Frost, there's a whole lot more want to with Rule, and I can appreciate that. I appreciated a lot of the things that he did say. I don't know if we were going to touch on like the whole like gripe from Shedeur Sanders and Dion.
That's where I was heading to next. Yeah.
Oh man.
For those who have been living under a rock, there's obviously you know, a lot of controversy going around about the pregame festivities. Nebraska gathered at midfield, 50-yard line on the Buffalo, and had a little team meeting, prayer, whatever you want to call it, a team huddle, which is pretty fucking run-of-the-mill. I mean, it wasn't like the Michigan player a couple of years ago that went there and stomped out them. And carved out the, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, have a team meeting there. And, you know, Shedeur Sanders came over and wanted to show, you know, his daddy's money off, showing his nice fucking Rolly or his AP, you know, I think the kids are talking about these days. What'd you think of that? What'd you think of the situation? And then what'd you think of how Rule addressed it?
So I think it can be perceived as like three different ways. Obviously the way that we've seen with Nebraska media and how Rule addressed it. And then on the other side with Colorado, but I see it as more of like a Last Dance Michael Jordan mindset type of thing, where this is what Dion used to fuel his team. Like,
it's personal.
And you see what they're doing pregame. Like, did you see what they were doing out there in midfield? And, I mean, you know, I don't know that you necessarily need to go to the media with that. That can stay within the walls of the locker room. But at the same time, if that's what you got to do to get your guys up, I mean, they got the win, didn't they? Like, they came. I mean, they had every celebrity.
You seen the videos? You know, motherfuckers weren't sitting there going, "Oh shit, this doesn't make sense." They're going, "Oh shit, yeah, fucking, it is personal, isn't it? It is so, personal." You know,
I don't know. I mean, there's obviously going to be that back and forth between, you know, Deion and Rule, and Rule handled it well. I will say, you know, it did look, when I saw a picture, it did look zoomed in like they were like doing the prayer or whatever. But at the same time, like, I don't know. That's all just kind of the, you know, the side stuff. But I wish we played them every year because it would be so much more fun.
Yeah. Well, we got them again next year. So, you know, I'm with you. Yeah. It's trying to be like Jordan. It's like, listen, not everybody's Jordan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, not anybody's Jordan. Even Deion, as stud athlete as Deion is, like, you ain't Jordan. Like, you know, I get that mindset of, oh, and take it personal and shit. But, you know, Shador, the whole fucking showing off your watch. If I was Kemp, I would have robbed him.
That's a bad look.
I'd have robbed him. I would have robbed him right there at midfield. I'd have been like, run that watch right now. Like honestly, you should. Come on, man. Where you do that? When it tells me you know, he ain't really from there, you know, like, where you do that at? Where you do that at, Shador? You flossing a $50,000 watch at somebody. Motherfucker, go ahead and take that off you right now.
Warming up.
Exactly. Like, dude, I would have gave him the old Aqib Talib. Fucking, they'd be like, Hey, Rule, one of your players snatched Shador's watch off pregame. Could we get that back from you? And I'd be sitting over there and just like, Bojangles. Like, you know, fucking, like, come on. Are you going to rub your fucking watch in my face? No. Like, no. So, that was kind of some punk-ass shit. And then just how Shador talks, like, you know, that Buffalo mean a lot to me. So, extreme disrespect and personal. And, you know, I just wanted to tell him it was personal and extreme disrespect that Buffalo mean a lot to me. It's like, you didn't know where Colorado was fucking 6 months ago. You didn't even know where Colorado was 6 months ago. Don't give me that shit. Like, dude, like, listen, man, I want to root. Like I've always said, I love everything about the University of Colorado, the colors, fucking Boulder, the logo. Dude, I love Colorado. Fucking, I hate them as our rival. Like, that's my number one hatred team. But it's hard to root for fucking Shador Sand. It's like, guys, at some point, just say, you know, like, oh, you know, give somebody else some, you know, some props. Because guess what? You're going to get yours. You're going to get yours. And then what happened? And then, because now everybody's sitting there waiting for you to get yours. And when you talk that much, instead of like, hey, you know, Nebraska's a tough opponent. You know, I think they came in, did some things defensively first half. We had to change some things up second half. Came out, you know, executed and we were able to get out of there with a win. So it's just like, oh, yeah, it's personal. And we didn't dominate first half. We wanted to dominate because it's personal. I love the Buffalo. And it's like, all right, man. Well, okay.
Thanks for the interview. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Appreciate the insight there.
Perfect.
No, I will say though, we should give credit where it's due. That dude is a very gifted quarterback.
He can play. That's the thing. Man. It's like,
he blew my mind. Like, I saw him play that first week, but some of the rollouts.
You know who he reminds me of? Is Mr. Crablegs? Is James Williams or
James Winston?
James Winston.
Oh, man, he didn't throw to the other team, though.
Dude, do you remember how good Jameis Winston was in college?
He was.
Like, Jameis Winston was that guy in college. Like, that Florida State team was one of the best college football teams ever. Like, Jameis Winston in college was that dude.
Fortunately for Shador, they don't have crab legs in Boulder.
Yeah, fucking, they got them Rocky Mountain oysters for him. So, no, Shador Sanders, don't get me wrong, he can fucking play, and he's a Sunday guy. You know, he throws, and the thing is, it's as much as he is decision making before and after games, I fucking hate his, he knows where to go with the ball during the games. Like, you don't see him throwing bad balls. He knows to take the small gain when it's there, to hit the check down, you know, when to go deep. Like, he knows when and where to go with the ball, and he throws a good ball. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world. Deep ball is average at best, but he knows where to go with the ball and when to go with it. So,
there was one time he was rolling out left, though, and he just reared back and threw it in the back of the end zone. I was like, damn, that guy's got a little bit of arm strength. But Yeah. And
that's why it's like, dude, I want to root for these guys. I want to. Like, I like Deion, you know?
Yeah. Fuck. He also took 7 sacks. I know there was 8 total, but he took 7 sacks. And when you take 7 sacks, after about the 4th or 5th one, you get a little desperate in the pocket and you want to like throw it out of desperation. A lot of times that gets intercepted. Still didn't see that. So,
yep. No, the kid can play. The kid can absolutely play. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Pac-12 shakes out. I mean, you know, you got some top end teams coming up. I mean, you got your rival game against Colorado State this week. Should be an easy W, but then it's Oregon and USC next. And you got, you know, you're going to get to look and see who they say is him. You know, him, Caleb Williams is coming down. And he has proven to be that dude. And, you know, I don't think they can not beat USC because USC's defense is absolutely fucking trash. But, you know, if you're going to get in a shootout, I'll take him. I'll take Caleb Williams. I mean, that guy, you know, they're already giving the, you know.
Well, they have
kind of compared to Patrick Mahomes, you know.
Yeah, and USC has a lot more talent across the board, too. I mean, from
offensive. But their defense is probably worse than Colorado's.
USC's true.
Defense
is
absolutely trash.
Trash. I just don't see how that happens. I mean, it's USC. Aren't they always
a bunch of soft libs out there in California?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah. Sorry. Different podcast. Just a bunch of softies out there in California, man. Fuck it. You know, they got to go out and recruit, you know, some Texas, some South, you know, dudes that get in the trenches and stuff. But, you know, they got all the flash and can put up numbers.
Yeah, I mean, USC defense used to get those guys from, like, Hawaii and Utah and, you know, those bad motherfuckers that would play in the front seven and just disrupt shit.
Especially the Samoans, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I just couldn't think of the word, so I just used the states they're from. But, Colorado's got – I mean, they don't have a test this week. Colorado State's always terrible, but
– Correct.
If they beat Oregon – That USC game is going to be a big deal.
It's like, dude, ESPN, I mean, First Take's going there on Friday. They're doing live.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn, guys. Like, just, you know, I mean, I guess that's how the media does everything. They just jam everything down your throat. They get one thing and it's just like, this is what we're doing.
Shannon Sharp talked to them pregame.
You got Wu-Tang Clan there. Fucking,
yeah.
It's like God damn, man. I mean, is this the first brother to ever coach college football?
It's like when we played USC and Snoop Dogg's on the sideline. It's like,
That's LA. This is Boulder. Yeah, exactly. Motherfuckers got to fly into Boulder. People in LA, it's just like, you know, before I start my night, I'll go check out the Trojans real quick. You know,
that's Deion clout, though. That's that Deion.
It is. It's, I still think it's probably an 8-4 team. Which obviously is 4 times as many victories as they were projected. So very good, you know, nothing but respect for their game, at least the off the field shit and the whatever the everything and personal bullshit. I could pass on that, but on the field wise, they are very good. Shooter Sanders is a Sunday dude. So speaking of Sunday guys, you know. But, you know, a large majority of the Sundays guys and the conference, even though the Big Ten would like to think, you know, we're rival conferences, the SEC has been the far better conference. Not far better, but been the better conference the last 10 years. The SEC is down this year. The SEC is down. Texas goes into Tuscaloosa and fucking, you could say, you know, basically handles Alabama relatively easy. I said last week on the podcast, like, I know what the numbers say on the quarterback, but I'm telling you, he ain't going to be the guy. You know, he's basically an athlete back there playing quarterback, and you know,
which
that kind of came to fruition.
Usually, been able to get away with.
Yep. So Texas goes into Alabama, handles Alabama pretty easily. Hands Nick Saban his first double digit loss at home at Alabama in his career.
First since like 2001, is that right? 2007
for maybe? Saban or Bama?
No, Bama.
I don't know.
First double digit loss. 2007. It was like 2007 or one or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know, then obviously the first week, Florida State beats up LSU. Miami beat A&M this year. You guys want to talk about a program that fucking just can't get it right. A&M. You know, Jimbo Fisher is apparently about to be fired. And they owe him about $80 million. And it's just like, you know, Nebraska, we complain about how bad our team is and all this stuff. And it's like A&M is in Texas. They're in the SEC. They get five-star players. They had the highest-rated class in history fucking last year where they had like 8 5-stars, and they're absolutely terrible. They went 5-7 last year, 8-4 the year before, and are in another 6-6 type year this year. It's just like, you know, there's other people that are down bad. And not to mention, people seem to forget this, A&M's never been elite, you know. People act like A&M's been it. Like A&M was a middle of the pack. They were Oklahoma State in the Big 12.
Yeah.
You know, they were just a team that was slightly above average. And now they're in the SEC. And Jimbo, you know, came over there, took all that money. And now they're ready to, you know, cut him a $75 million check to get the fuck out of there. Which
all was, the money.
It's God. I need me a job where I do so bad they pay me not to come back. Pay me a large sum of money.
Because I'll do real bad in that case.
Ooh, man, shit. You know, when we go on break, we break, you know.
Yeah, you ever heard of
y'all quiet, seen Taylor? No.
Quiet quitting? I'll be as quiet as ever.
Exactly. Quiet as house mouse, shit. So the SEC is down. The ACC is looking pretty good. Miami, you know, they look pretty talented. North Carolina, Florida State. I don't know about Clemson. I don't think
they're it.
Dabo.
I don't think North Carolina's it either. North Carolina looked okay against South Carolina, but
yeah, they almost got knocked off by Appalachian State.
Yeah,
Appalachian State beat them last year though too. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe App State's the deal. You know. Florida got beat by Utah week one. Yeah, the SEC is down. So if there was ever a year where, you know, another conference is going to step up and, you know, as good as we talk about the Pac-12 being, it, you don't really see that top-end team that is going to compete for a natty. So it's like, my eyeballs tell me right now, you know, it's we haven't really got to see Georgia. So I'm just going to say Georgia just by de facto. Just they're the two-time national champs. So Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Texas look like the best teams to me.
Notre Dame looks really good.
Notre Dame looks like they could be a problem.
They have four really, really good running backs.
Well, we're going to find out next – this coming weekend is pretty pud of fucking games. That's why I'm taking Brooklyn daughter down to down a link for the games. There's really nothing.
Are you?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
So yep. So we're going to go down Saturday, and because there's nothing really to watch, Tennessee and Florida, but Florida sucks.
It's a night game, too.
Night
game.
But that's literally the best. That's maybe what game day and big new kickoff are at Colorado State. So really not much going. But that next week you got Ohio State and Notre Dame, which is we're going to find out a lot because Notre Dame looks very good. Ohio State doesn't look to be the usual Ohio State. And so we're going to get to see, you know, find out who's who that next week. So that should be exciting. But
yeah.
Zach, you got anything else? Anything else you want to talk about? There's another thing I wanted to talk about. You know, the kind of the intro I talked about, you know, football highs and lows and just, you know, can break your heart and make your day. And, you know, my wife always talks to me about how I let my emotions get out of hand during game days and I'm fucking yelling and screaming. And, you know, my little thing is just like, you know, I'm sad for you that you don't have something in your life that can move your emotions like that. You know, it's like, if you just
Desperate Housewives, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. You're not hooting and hollering at fucking, you know, fucking whoever on the Housewives show. So it's, you know, to have something that, you know, can move your emotions like that and really get you invested like that, you know, it's something that I cherish. And, you know, I saw a video this week that I really just felt for a guy, and I felt for a team, a city, and this one fan. You know, obviously Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers kicking off his New York Jets career. And, you know, we both had talked about, you know, jumping on the bandwagon and kind of wanting to see, kind of rooting for him and wanting to see what they could do. And fucking four plays in, pops his Achilles. And, you know, I saw a video of a old Jets fan and just his wife's like, "Are you crying?" And he's like, "And like, and it's just like, I get it, man. Like, the Jets have been down bad for ever, you know, since, I mean, since Joe Namath. So, you know, they finally get, you know, a quarterback and have a defense and some skill position players that you clearly saw on Monday night. I mean, Wilson, and then they got three running backs that all Breece Hall. They can play, and then four snaps in, fucking Aaron Rodgers pops his Achilles, and you know there's very few times that I feel bad for players, but that I you know it hurt my stomach honestly. I was pretty upset. You know, I'm trying to think of the other times. You know, when Dak twisted or broke his leg, you know, because he had just went through that contract shit, and then they didn't sign him in, and then he snapped his leg, and I was like, man, that's what you get for loyalty, you know, and it felt bad for him. And then do you remember years ago when Luke Kuechly got a concussion?
Oh, man.
Taking him off the field, dude, and he was crying. And he just looked like he looked like a little kid coming off the field. And, you know, that's a fucking man. Like, Luke Kuechly is a man of man.
He knew it was over.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, I think that was the number one time where I was like, man, dude, football.
Well, also, it was like a really extreme concussion, so his head probably wasn't 100%.
You know, exactly. You can tell that he was fucked up. You know, he was like, shit, where the fuck am I at? I'm hurt. I'm super sad.
That this is probably it.
that Luke Kuechly one was fucking really bad. But, yeah, it just sucks, you know, to see Aaron go down like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you never want to see it. Injuries, you want to see the top players playing, you know. The bottom line, you want to see the top players playing. Obviously, they're playing your boys this weekend, which would have been is it probably a primetime game?
No, it's 3:30, 3:15,
okay.
Whatever, CBS.
So,
Romo calling it and just dicing up Dak every move he makes, but it's fine.
Yeah, well, Dak didn't even get a chance to get warmed up this last week. The defense special teams fucking did him so dirty. So
no, to your point though, you know, with those kinds of injuries, you know, we've seen them too. Like, I don't know, in high school, you know, we saw Nick go down and that was tough because like that guy just wanted to be out there with, you know, he had a lot of best friends and it's just tough to see that kind of thing go down. And I mean, you know, for me, like my last game of my senior year in college, I went out with a separated shoulder, and so didn't get to finish like my last game. It does suck, you know. It's like
cruel sport, ain't it?
It's a cruel sport, and it's just like a helpless feeling too, because it's like, you know, it's football. Like, you have to be physical, and if you can't be as physical as you need to be, I mean, you're just going to be, you know, a detriment to yourself and your team, and so.
Yep.
It's just one of those things, man. It's so bittersweet, but, it just, you never want to see that type of thing happen. And, I would be remiss to also bring this up that, I did fall for him a little bit over, Hard Knocks, drafted him in fantasy.
Yep.
And then I traded him on Sunday for Dak Prescott, to another member of our league. And it went through, and then Monday night happened. So the poor guy that got Aaron Rodgers got rid of Dak and got a quarterback on IR. So
that's tough.
Like you said, football is just a roller coaster ride, and that's part of it.
Yeah, I hope he comes back. I want to see him. You know, and I think just, you know, the competitor in him, he's not gonna be let that be the end of it. You know.
He takes those trips in the off season to find himself. Yep. So we'll see how that one goes this next summer.
Yeah. Load up on that ayahuasca and fucking
peyote or whatever he takes.
Yeah. Fucking it's just, I mean, I like to, you know, no thanks for me. It's a nightmare, man. It turns all your bad feelings into good feelings. You know, fucking it's going to be a no for me, dog. So, it feels like the world's on fire and the Nebraska football is coming into an end, you know, Saturday. Nebraska starts 0-2. But it's like, okay, how upset can I be? And, you know, and I was thinking about it, I was writing some notes down. It's like, haven't the coaches lived up to their end of the bargain, exactly what they told us we were getting? I kind of got a rule of it after week one about preaching about the fourth quarter and, you know, win the game in the fourth quarter. And it's like, well, shit, he didn't fumble that ball. Shit, he didn't throw that pick. Like he said, just, you know, we're built for the fourth quarter. And then we go to Colorado and we feel like I said, look at the stats. 8 sacks, 58 rushing yards given up, ran the ball 41 times for 5.4 yards a clip. It's like, how's and if you listen to the press conference leading up to see, he told you that this team was fucking lacking talent. I mean, the one thing you could get on about is, you know, getting Casey Thompson out of here and choosing the wrong quarterback, which, you know, it's a big fucking mess. Don't get me wrong, but
they lost last week and Casey Thompson threw 44 passes and had 140 yards and 0 touchdowns, 2 picks. So let's not get ahead of ourselves there.
Holy shit. Stat line still infinity better than Jeff Sims' stat line, but not definitely not great. But you know, I think the coaching staff has lived up to exactly, if you're listening to what they're saying, like I think you've gotten exactly what they promised. And you know, Rule kind of alluded to that in his conference, like, you know, when you hire me, this is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about how Nebraska's the only Power 5 team to play 2 Power 5 road games in the whole country. So, I'm interested to see how this weekend shakes out. I'm hoping the team comes out. I feel like I know the defense is going to ball out and just kind of waiting to see what the offense does. But not to mention, I predicted us to lose both the games. So I can't be too mad when I said, hey, we're going to lose both these games and then we lose both the games. So what, you know, what the fuck can I really say? Yeah. So that being said, I like Nebraska in a 27-17 victory here. Zach, where's your head at heading into Saturday? What do you think we're seeing?
I don't know. Probably 12-3 Nebraska.
Does it just need to be a win? You know, does it just need, it's like where I've always said, you just need to see one go through the hoop, you know, like
I think, okay, I
when
think
the shooter's this, off, get him to the line, get him an easy bucket. Does Nebraska just need to see a W appear on the board at the end, whether it's 3-0, 3-2, do they just need a W?
Yeah. I mean, I think we do need a W. I don't want to see any early struggles because that's going to just like, you know, inflate things more than it needs to. So if we can just get out on them early and just show our defensive dominance and then just not let them move the ball. And then it's just more so on our offense to kind of just take ownership and score points. Maybe I think that'd be good. And then we can use this as a stepping stone for Louisiana Tech and just whatever works, then just build on that for that next game. And then, you know, you go in, you just keep your shield up against Michigan and just kind of minimize everything that
could happen. And luckily Michigan isn't one of those teams that's going to fucking blow the doors off you.
Yeah.
You know, like an old Ohio State high flying team that's going to, you know, beat you 63-2 or something. It's like, they're going to pummel you and, you know, that'll be what Harbaugh's second game back. So, I mean, like I said, I think Michigan's the best team in the country. You know, I think by the end of the year, I think people are going to be talking about JJ McCarthy as fucking the Heisman candidate and maybe the Heisman leader. So I like Michigan. I like Jim Harbaugh. You know, he brought my 49ers back to prominence.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing. I like how they built their team. I like the kind of style of offense they play, you know. So, but, you know, I'm anxious to see Nebraska get out here on Saturday night. You know, it never really feels all the way like football season until you actually get down to Lincoln and immerse yourself in the whole game day atmosphere and experience. Uh-huh. So, I'm excited for that. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day out. So, you know, it's the great reset. We got the first two out of the way. Everything we want to do is still in front of us. So, you know, it starts Saturday with going out and, you know, having a better, cleaner game, better offensive performance. And, you know, you build on that. So 27-17 for me. And, you know, Nebraska's get that first win of the season, first win under the Matt Rhule era. So, Zach, any final words?
Yeah, I just want to see Lenhart continue to build, continue to get better. I think he's going to be a long-term guy for us and going to be a really solid person, you know, in locker room going forward. And then I want to see some of those young DBs really step up and continue to like build, because we've seen some guys like, you know, that we didn't think we were going to say their name much. Omar Brown.
Sean Singleton. Yeah.
Yep. Those two guys specifically. Yeah. We want to see more of that. Just continue to build that momentum, because that's going to be huge for us going forward. So, Those three guys continue doing what you're doing. And Jeff Sims, please just fucking keep the ball off the turf. Right. Thank you.
Yep, exactly. You know, more quarterback run game. I know he's got a little bit banged up ankle, but, you know, brother, if you can't run the ball, you're not useful to us.
Yes, so, correct.
Fucking, you know, so it's either time to shit or get off the pot, man. It's, yep. You know, if you're too injured to play, then go sit your ass on the bench. So yeah. That's it, man. Nebraska going to get the first victory of the season. As always, see you guys down in Lincoln. Go Big Red, and best of luck this weekend. GBR.
GBR.
This is the Big Red Revival.